WRKC is proud to present the third season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 27th episode, Den of Wolves.
I jolted awake amid a haze of sleep and booze to the steady ringing of my apartment phone. A sliver of light was coming in through the window and causing my head more pain than it really should have been able to. Probably a combination of the drink and the beating I'd taken a couple weeks before. I was mobile again, but everything still hurt. After a moment of fumbling on my night table, I found the receiver. Hello?
Oh, Harry, did I wake you?
Yeah. No, I was awake.
Good. Then get over here now. There's a woman in here that won't stop crying, and I don't feel like dealing with her.
What time is it?
9:35.
Wait, but I've got... Oh, daylight savings time. I always forget about that.
That began more than a week ago.
Right, and I always forget about it.
Just get here. She's getting on my nerves.
I made my morning routine go by a bit faster by skipping hair, combing, shaving, and coffee so that I'd get there quickly enough to avoid Deborah's wrath. Unfortunately, it was already an hour late for that. She was standing outside the office when I got there.
Took you long enough. She's in there just crying away.
Do you recognize her?
No, why should I?
And you left her in there?
Yeah.
With my confidential case files and guns.
Not my fault you weren't here on time. I'm going to go get a coffee. Call me when she stopped crying.
Wait, Deborah, how can I call you if you're not at a phone? Oh, well. I let myself in and found the woman Deborah had been tired of listening to. For all of Deborah's complaints, I'd have expected her to be sobbing, but from the state of her makeup, she couldn't have been going on long. She looked to be in her 40s by her clothes, upper class, but trying not to draw too much attention. As I came in, she stood up.
Are you Harry Flynn, the detective?
You'd be surprised how often people ask that. It's funny, given that to get here, they had to find my name, look me up, go to my old office, read the sign with my new address, and then come to my temporary office, which is conveniently located close enough to the police station to discourage trouble. Of course, it could be that with all that running around, they forget who they're looking for. That's me. What can I help you with, Miss...
Rosenberg. Beth Rosenberg. And I hope so.
I could tell already that it was a missing persons case. When you're looking for someone, there's always that dread to ask, as if admitting their loss will push them closer to the grave. The murders and conspiracies make better stories, but missing persons is the bread and butter of any private eye. Well, Miss Rosenberg, why not tell me what's bothering you?
It's my daughter, Ella. She's been gone since Sunday.
Did you bring this to the police?
Yes, but the more people looking...
Right, I understand. And did I hear you right that it's been since Sunday?
Yes, I didn't think it was anything to worry about at first. She's 24 and has her own place, but I went by this morning to see her and the newspapers were all piled up.
And I assume you called and knocked?
I'd let myself in. I have a key. I don't think she would have just left town without letting me know.
Does she have any enemies? People who would get her into trouble?
No. No, of course not.
You're not sure. A name came into your head when I said trouble. Even if you don't know all your daughter's business, mother's intuition is nothing to ignore. Who was it?
Well... There's a boy I've seen her with a couple of times. I think his name is Joe.
She was talking in unsure terms, but it wasn't because she was questioning herself. I could tell she knew more than she was saying, but you don't get by in this business by calling clients liars. So this boy, Joe, why don't you trust him?
The same mother's intuition, I guess. He's just shifty, and he always has this strange smell on him. I can't describe it. Kind of smoky, but sweet.
All right, good to know. If you've got a picture of your Ella and her address, I'll see what leads I can get together. She thanked me more than I was strictly comfortable with and left me with the picture and a head full of worries. If Beth was right, then her daughter's friend could be involved in any number of illegal drug rackets. The drugs were bad enough, but even more dangerous is the type that come along with them. Take any criminal organization you'd like, and if you follow the money, you'll find some kind of drug den. I checked my gun, took another look at the picture, and made my way across town to her apartment building. A quick look around showed that Ella hadn't been there lately. It also showed up a possible lead. A phone number labeled work sitting on a counter.
Hello, this is the Books and Antiquities Emporium. Can I help you?
Hopefully. Is Ella Rosenberg there?
Ella? No, she doesn't work Thursdays. What's this about?
Has she been coming into work lately?
Are you looking for a book?
No, I'm trying to solve a kidnapping. Has she come in? Strictly speaking, I was only keeping kidnapping as a possibility, but that word has a way of getting people to cooperate.
No, she left work Sunday night, and I haven't seen her yet.
Do you know where she went?
Well, I didn't think to ask.
Does she have a date book or calendar there? She doesn't seem to have one at her apartment.
I don't make a habit of looking through my employees' personal belongings.
Can you make an exception?
I'm really not comfortable with...
All right, I'll come over and do it for you. The store was only a block away, so I hoofed it. She didn't live in the best area of the city, but then she didn't live in the worst. Still, it was close enough to some bad areas that her mother was right to be nervous. The bookstore ended up being a hole in the wall, not nearly worthy of the title Emporium. After a bit of cajoling, I was jimmying open a locker of stuff she kept there. And you're certain you haven't seen her since then?
Quite certain. Are you going to be here long? I'm trying to run a business.
I'll be out of your hair in no time. Now, let's see. Spare jacket, pack of cigarettes, couple of books. Here, hold these.
Oh, these are antique books I've been trying to find.
Here we are, date book.
Anything dangerous on Sunday? Maybe going white water rafting or bear wrestling?
Dinner with Mom after work, underlined twice. Let me see. I flipped back through the date book until I found the first time dinner with Mom was listed. Bingo. What do you think the chances are that she'd be that careful to see that she didn't miss her mother's cooking?
What do you mean?
Anybody picking up the book will see a normal, doting daughter, but Beth Rosenberg would have mentioned it if that was the case. But here on the first entry, she wrote down directions. So this isn't the last place she was seen.
So what are you saying? Was I a suspect?
Well, don't leave town suddenly. Say, what were those books about?
Oh, Marco Polo's expedition for the spice trade. And are you serious about leaving town? I've got to go visit the in-laws this weekend.
No, just a joke. Seriously, though, don't leave town. I left the woman trying to decide how serious I was as I walked along the instructions given. Her boss hadn't seemed to have any problem with me taking her date book, so I kept it with me in case there was more to glean from it. The address was a rundown old building with boarded windows that two big thugs were surreptitiously standing in front of, trying their best to look casual. Of course, that alone was enough to make them stick out like a sore thumb. Not many foreclosed buildings are worthy of protection. I made my way over.
You got the time, Gramps?
Yeah, sure, just after 1.
That early still?
Told you it wasn't time yet.
Waiting out here for something?
Nah, just like this area of town.
Nice area, really. My favorite place.
You don't say. Maybe I'll join you.
I don't know if that's a great idea.
Yeah, Gramps, maybe not a good one.
How old are you?
23.
Then stop calling me Gramps.
Forget about it. You don't want trouble, do you?
Course not. Say, got a light?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, left my matches at... The second his hand was in his pocket, I slammed my fist into his mouth and he stumbled back with a truly girly scream. A quick jab to the diaphragm had him wheezing as I turned my attention to his friend. He pulled a knife, but I was ready for it. I caught his arm and elbowed his neck to slam him onto his back. After a quick glance around, I pushed open the door the men had been guarding, and was greeted by a heavy burst of stale smoke and softly murmuring voices. I'd set out to find a lost girl. Instead, I'd found an opium den.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Den of Wolves, but first, a word from our sponsor.
All right, I'm here, boss.
Jenkins! You're 45 minutes late and drenched with sweat. We've got an important board meeting in 5 minutes!
I'm sorry, I would have been here faster, but wild dogs kept attacking my bicycle.
Your bicycle? Is that why you're not fit to do business?
Yes, sir.
Then you're fired! Bicycles are commie methods of transportation!
But sir, I can't afford to buy gas, so I have no choice. If there was some way for me to get here professionally without needing tons of money, I'd do it.
Well, now you can.
Who are you?
Oh, we had a commercial announcer. I'm not entirely certain why.
Are you tired of putting tons of your hard-earned money into your gas-guzzling machines? Does the thought of exercising on a silly communist bicycle make you want to throw up? Do you want to avoid terrible injury that can result from roving packs of wild dogs that hate everything on two wheels?
Yes, to all of those. Especially the communist one.
Well, now there's a solution. Introducing bike hooks.
That sounds like something a commie would use.
Well, it isn't, so shut up.
Sorry.
Made in America, for American consumers, this American invention is just what you need to improve your commute without emptying your wallet. Here's how it works. Bike hook is a long piece of metal, almost like a crowbar, with a hook on the end of it. While biking, simply hook onto passing cars or other vehicles, lift your legs from the pedals, and coast along without doing an ounce of effort. You can avoid paying for gas while still making sure you don't get any of that horrible exercise frequently associated with bicycles.
That sounds kinda dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd do that.
Scared of bike hook? Just listen to these testimonials from people who are braver than you are.
I have a 40-minute commute to get to work, and it was always boring. The radio never had anything good on, and apparently it's dangerous to read a newspaper while driving. So I bought bike hook, and now I spend my entire commute trying desperately to switch between cars while screaming at the top of my lungs with horrible terror.
I was driving along and some guy used a bike hook on my car. At first, I thought it was a communist because he was on a bike. But then I saw that every bike hook comes fitted with a miniature American flag. That way, if you happen to spot it as a bicycle slams into the side of your car, you'll know it's not someone to shake off.
As a registered doctor and expert in head injuries, I was asked if bike hook is a safe idea. At first, I supported the idea because bicycling is excellent for your heart, but then I heard the second syllable of the idea and I realized that it may be the most dangerous thing I've ever heard of. Don't buy a bike hook. You'll die.
But who's afraid of death when you can get to work for almost free?
You won't get to work. You'll be dead.
Oh, somebody cut her mic. If you are sick of paying out all of your money for expensive gas and having wild, roving packs of dogs bite your ankles as you desperately try to pedal, bike hook is just the product for you.
Yeah, I'm not buying one of those.
You know, if you have to be late, that's fine. This company doesn't condone such dangerous methods of transportation.
Bike hook can be yours for just 2 easy payments of $15. If you call now, you can get a second bike hook so you can connect your bicycle to 2 cars at once!
I cannot tell you how dangerous that is.
I said cut her mic! Call now for 2 bike hooks for the price of 1. The number is 1-800-BIKE-USA. That's 1-800-BIKE-USA. That is unless you're a communist!
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I closed the door behind me and stepped into the dark, smoky room. Damn it. Had to be smoke. Could feel my lungs constricting from the moment I had my first breath. Some bebop music was playing as people spoke softly with each other. I made my way in to put some distance between me and the door. The place was busier than any bar should be during the day. There was no initial sign of Ella, which I counted to be a good thing. Everyone inside looked tired, beaten, and drawn. I stopped a man passing by. Joe, is that you?
Me? No, you've got the wrong guy.
You sure? Supposed to meet a friend of a friend here. Hangs out with a girl named Ella.
No idea. Never heard of either of them.
Is there anyone here who, you know, knows people? Someone I can talk to?
Yeah, sure. Mikhail owns the place.
Mikhail? What's he look like?
You don't know Mikhail? I thought no one got in without his permission.
For a moment, I considered punching him in the face, too, so he didn't cause too much of a fuss. Then it occurred to me that punching someone in the face is exactly the sort of thing that draws folks. Instead, I gave a shrug. I haven't seen him for a while is all.
Look, that's him there.
Mikhail was a tall man, Russian features, and carrying a thick cane. At his belt was a heavy pistol that couldn't possibly have been legal to carry. He was talking with another man at a bench surrounded by smoke. I thanked the man I'd been talking to and calmly made my way over.
Have you found him yet?
No, not yet, Comrade Mikhail. But I am going to meet with him.
You believe this is on the level?
One of Colazioni's men gave him up. The Italian does not pay enough.
This is how we will claim the city for the motherland. The police is corrupt, and Colazioni is weak. He allows small gangs to run on the streets and take only a small percentage without controlling things.
But we will do better.
Yes, we will. Find this Joe, who wants to make a name for himself, and bring him to me.
And if he is with others?
If they were my men, kill them. If they were Colazioni's or civilian, turn them.
And if they will not be turned?
Then kill them.
I made a note to check up on Mikhail with some backup and followed after the other man. He headed out the back way and I kept my distance, trying hard not to choke on the horrible smoke. The man got into a car and I ran to hail a taxi.
Where are you headed to?
Follow that car.
Which car?
The blue one there. Come on, follow it.
You got it. Know where it's going?
No, just keep up. Leave some space. 1, 2 cars if you can. The driver started up his taxi and followed after the Russian as quickly as the speed limit would allow. Of course, I'd get the one cab that follows traffic laws. I used my gun in my coat pocket to be sure I could access it easily.
Are you a detective?
Yeah, I am.
You don't say. So, you're following this guy because he's a criminal?
Yeah, get a little closer.
Oh, gee. I love all those detective stories.
He's taking a right turn.
I've got it. Don't worry.
He kept babbling about how much he loved all kinds of detective authors, and I watched the car, occasionally reminding him to follow. Eventually, he pulled over.
So, that's the story. Think I could get it published?
Yeah, absolutely. Pull over here.
All right. That'll be $3.25.
I tossed him $4 and got out of the car as nonchalantly as I could manage. I trailed the man on foot as he went into an apartment building and started knocking on one of the doors. I hung back around a corner as the door opened.
What do you want?
Do you have this stuff?
Oh, Boris. You know, I hadn't expected you this early. Come on in.
I hope you do not intend to double-cross me, Joe.
The two stepped into Joe's apartment, and I slipped up to the door. It closed just before I was able to get my foot in. Damn it. Damn it! I took a step back and kicked the door hard at the lock. Wood splintered, and I shoved the door open, gun in hand.
The hell?
Drop the gun, now!
Who the hell are you?
Name's Harry Flynn, Private Eye. I don't think you realize the mistake you've made, pal.
Oh yeah? You gonna do me in?
No. Far as I'm concerned, that was probably a public service killing. I'm just trying to make sure that Ella's safe. The girl from the photograph came out from another room with a concerned look on her face. She'd aged terribly since the picture was taken. Tired with the same shifty look in her eyes.
Don't worry, Ella. I've got this.
I heard a shot.
Ella, your mother is looking for you. Go home before you get more tied into this.
Hey, man, stay away from my girl.
I'm only trying to help.
We don't need your help. Come on, Ella.
Joe, did you shoot this man?
Ella, now.
Wait, Joe. You've just gunned down a Russian mobster. His boss knows where he was going, and he'll know who he was talking to. Now he'll find you.
Worry about your own problems. We'll be fine.
The two left quickly as I swore and looked around the room. Sure enough, opium and not even hidden. This kid was getting in over his head and bringing Ella with him. I picked up the phone and called the police.
What's your emergency?
Spinelli. They've got you picking up emergency calls?
Hey, Harry. I'm still recovering. Now, what's the emergency?
I found an opium den being run by the Russians, and there's a kid looking to get himself killed there.
And you need backup?
It would be suicide to run in without it. Can you help?
I'll see what I can do.
I told him the address and got a taxi to the den as I offered prayers up to every saint I could think of. I wasn't sure which one was the patron saint of gunfights, but maybe if I got lucky. Here's the place. Wait here. I ran to the door and was stopped by a fresh set of thugs.
You got business here?
Got to meet with Mikhail. It's urgent.
All right, go ahead. No funny business or I'll wring your neck myself.
And I'm sure you could do that, pal, but trust me, if anything, Mikhail would be happy to see me. He let me by and I walked into the... God, I hate smoke! It wasn't long until I found Joe and Mikhail looking moments from killing each other.
So that's how it is. You give me space, I don't give you trouble.
Ah, so that is how it is. I see. I had misunderstood. Where is my man Boris?
Dead. He got in my way. I suggest you don't do the same.
This is a very foolish thing you have done. I hope you do not think you will leave this place alive.
Joe moved fast to pull a gun, but Mikhail was faster. The shot rang out, and Joe fell back with a shout of pain, firing his own gun into the ceiling. I tried to jump in and stop Mikhail, but it was too late. The Russian aimed his gun down and fired two more shots into Joe's chest.
Silly American. This is what happens to people who think they are smarter than Mikhail Volkov.
And here's what happens to murderers in America. I swung a hard right to his face, but he brought up an arm quickly enough to deflect much of the hit. His fist came to my chest, and I grabbed his shirt to slam my forehead into his face. At that moment, the police arrived.
Everyone on the ground, now!
Stay where you are!
Get away from me!
Get the opium, man!
For a moment, I was distracted from Mikhail, but then he reminded me of his presence with a knee to the groin. I went down, grabbing at a chair to try to keep myself up. He pointed his gun at my face.
This is what happens to people who think...
I slammed my heel into his knee with as much force as I could muster, and he tripped back with a sound of pain. His teeth drew back into a snarl.
I will kill you, but not until I can enjoy it.
He kicked me in the head, and for a long moment, everything got fuzzy. Tried to push myself up, but he was gone in the smoke and the haze. An officer found me soon after, and I was sitting in an ambulance before I knew it.
All right, follow the light. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see the light. Listen, I'm fine.
I'm trying to see if you have a concussion.
You have to find Ella. Ella Rosenberg. She shouldn't be here.
Do you know she's here?
She was inside, I think. She followed the dead kid.
Here, why don't you lay down, Mr. Flynn?
I think I'm going to lie down. My head is killing me.
I think that's a very good idea.
I woke up again in the hospital with a numb feeling in my head. I couldn't help feeling like I'd been in this situation 1,000 times and considering whether I might have other career options. Something safer, like a florist or something.
Did you say a florist?
Deborah? Oh, God, I didn't die, did I?
What? No.
Because a world where I'm hospitalized and you can read my mind is the worst hell I can think of.
No, you're alive. Which is good, because I don't feel like looking for a job. Miss Rosenberg is here to see you. She wouldn't take no for an answer.
Damn. Now I had to tell Miss Rosenberg that I'd found her daughter and then lost her. If all the woman had been through, this could only make it worse. She came in with tears all down her face. More than she had when she was first at my office. Miss Rosenberg, I'm sorry. I thought I'd found her, and then she got away. I lost her in the den. She must have left while I wasn't looking.
The den? No, she never went there.
She didn't?
No, she came home. She told me everything that happened about Joe and everything.
Now you're talking much more like you know him.
I haven't been in, entirely honest with you.
No, you haven't been entirely honest with me.
That's what I said.
I got kicked in the head today.
That's fair.
Now, you were saying?
Ella and Joe had been dating for some time now. I didn't approve of him. He was dragging Ella into things that I didn't want her involved with. But she did go missing. I tried to find them, but couldn't.
Huh. Well, I can see why you'd want to distance yourself. And she came home?
She thought she could change him when he was just on the drugs. But then he killed a man.
Took an awful lot to convince her.
I guess that's just how young love is.
Guess so. She left my payment on a table in the room, as well as extra, to pay for my brief hospital stay. Ella never came in, but then I don't blame her. She'd had a hell of a day. I wouldn't have wished that for her, but in the end she made the hard choice. The hard choice that saved her life.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Den of Wolves, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah, Ella, Board Commuter, Doctor, and EMT. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn. Jennifer Momenzada as Beth, Bookseller, and Bike Hooked. Drake Nestor as Commercial Announcer, Thug 2, Mikhail, Driver, and Cop. Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Thug 3, Spinelli, Boss, and Boris. Special guest star Colin Walsh as Junkie, Thug Number 1, Jenkins, and Joe. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Find us on Facebook or log on to harryflynn.wikia.com for episode summaries, cast lists, trivia, and MP3s of previous episodes.